Our focus this morning is going to be on verse 11. The words of the angels or the men in white apparel to the disciples as they gazed up into the heavens and seeing the Lord Jesus disappear from their sight. It had been a very traumatic few years as they had followed the Lord for 3 years, up and down in the problems of life. Then there had been Calvary. There had been a burial. The world seemed to have been turned completely upside down. And there would be many who were wondering, was this really the Christ? And just who he was. But the message of the angels was very clear. Very clear. They didn't just say, this Jesus. They said, this same Jesus. As if to underline what they were saying. This same Jesus will come again as you have seen him go. And there will be no doubting about it. I wonder how many of you can remember the war in Iraq. And Saddam Hussein, he was here, he was there, he was everywhere. And there's photographs and telly shots and all the rest of it. They never really knew where he was. And it turned out that he was using lookalikes. And so that the people would be confused, his enemies would be confused, and wouldn't know just who they were looking at. And there were many people in the days in which the disciples lived. Jesus on occasion asked, who do men say that I am? And there were differing views. But over those 3 years that the disciples had been with the Lord Jesus, there had been some revelation. Peter, who do you say that I am, Peter? You are the Christ. You are the Christ. Peter, as others, had seen the Lord lay his hand upon the sick. And did they recall the words of Scripture in Isaiah that this is what would happen when Messiah came? When John asked the question, sent his disciples to Jesus, Jesus pointed out the works that he was doing. But this same Jesus, the one who is being taken up into heaven from you now, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then further on in Acts chapter 2, verses 32 and 33, we read these words, this Jesus, God has raised up and exalted him to the right hand of God. The Jesus that they walked with, the Jesus they had talked with, the Jesus that they saw raising the dead, the Jesus who would go out of his way to meet those people in need. That Jesus. So when the angel or the men in white apparel say, this same Jesus, it's the one you have known, the one you have followed, the one you have put your trust in, the same. Not another. Not a look-alike, but the very same Jesus. Peter takes pains to stress to the Jews in particular, it is the same Jesus, the one they had crucified, the one they had slain, the historic Jesus, the Jesus they had known in their street. This is the one that God has raised. This is the one that God has exalted to his right hand to be co-equal with God himself. Now we may well ask the question, if Jesus is God, in what way has he been exalted? Can you exalt God? Well, you can't. Of course you can't. But in Jesus, we have the divine and we have the human. And it was the human Jesus that was exalted and given that name which above every other name. Not only was he exalted in person, but given a name which was above every other name. Jesus, the name of his incarnation. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that name is linked there, of course, with that of Saviour. Jesus Christ. Christ is his messianic title, the anointed one, the deliverer. Both roles were played out in his flesh and his humanity. Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord identifies him with the Jewish God, Yahweh, Israel's God. But he's the same Jesus. Humanity has been exalted and he has been received into the Godhead. His name is exalted, for although salvation was planned in eternity, where only deity is known, humanity belongs to time. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his humanity and his deity, time and eternity are joined and united as one. Paul, writing to the Philippians, reminds us of the supremacy of Christ's exaltation. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth. Not everyone recognizes the name of Jesus today. Not everyone will bow down before him. But we can rest assured, beloved, in this fact, that the day is coming when every knee shall bow and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord of all. Whether they are in heaven, whether they are on earth, or even those under the earth, wherever man may be found, all will one day acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it was through the Lord's sharing in our humanity, that by his death, he was able to destroy the power of death, that is Satan. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 has this to say, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Paul writes into Timothy, reminds Timothy of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and light and immortality to light through the gospel. This is the Jesus that is coming back. This is the Jesus who has done so much for us in time. And we are reminded, are we not, in Revelation, that he speaks there in Revelation 1, verse 18. I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and hell. What a Jesus. In his deeds, in his actions, incomparable. Can we find one mightier than him? Can we search out historically the great men of our nation, of the nations of the world, those who have brought great blessing to the nations? Is there one that is as great as our Lord Jesus Christ? You can search among the wise. Surely there must be one. And we might think of Solomon. But what did Jesus have to say? A greater than Solomon is here. That's the Jesus we love. That's the Jesus we follow. That's the Jesus who is coming back. That's the Jesus who is the same Jesus. This same Jesus. Well, what about heaven? Surely heaven must have someone who is equal in rank to him. You can search among the angels, amongst the cherubims, amongst the seraphim, and the archangels. The angels are there in their myriads, are mere messengers of God. The seraphims who dwell in the presence of God, they cover their faces in the presence of God, acknowledging that they are lesser beings than the God whom they serve. Cherubims, the guardians of the righteousness of God, overshadowing the Ark of the Covenant. The archangels, how about them? The princes of the angelic world, surely there's someone who is equal to this Jesus amongst them. Listen to what Jude says about that in verse 9. Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed over the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Even the archangel Michael has to call upon the authority of God to rebuke Satan. He doesn't have the authority within himself. None, then, are equal to this Jesus. Acts chapter 5 and verse 31, God has exalted him, rather, him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Who else can forgive sins? Who else can bring repentance? None. No man, no matter how wise, no matter how mighty, only Jesus. For all the splendor of his creatures, there is none that can match him in his name. He alone has borne that name splendidly on earth and majestically in heaven. And this is how one hymn writer puts it: humbled for a season to receive a name from the lips of sinners unto whom he came. Faithfully he bore it, spotless to the last, brought it back victorious, went from death he passed, bore it up triumphant with its human light through all ranks of creatures in the central height, to the throne of Godhead, to the Father's breast, filled it with the glory of that perfect rest. What a name he bears. Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians did remind us earlier of the homage that all will give. Every knee shall bow. Revelations 5 will remind us of the universal adoration that will be his. The many angels, the living creatures, the elders, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Verse 12, they said, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Every creature, every being united. Verse 13, on every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and such as in the sea said, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and forever. The same Jesus. The one who is the firstborn of creation. So we read in Colossians 1:15. The man, the God-man, by creation, acknowledged and worshipped. By God, God exalts him. God puts him to sit at his right hand. And yet, he is still the same Jesus as he went away, as he left that mount on that day, as he disappeared from the sight of the disciples watching. It was the same Jesus. He not changed in any way whatsoever. No change, Jehovah knows. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are often reminded by Gordon that the Lord's Day is a day of resurrection, being the first day of the week. And yes, of course, we do remember. But that great message, the message of Easter, does resonate throughout the year, and especially when we meet together. And that just leaves us with the question, where are you looking for Jesus? And what is the Jesus you are looking for? Can I ask you that on this Sabbath day, are you looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ that we read about in Titus chapter 2, verse 13? Are you looking for his appearing in the clouds of glory? Somehow we have lost the anticipation of his returning. We seem to have lost the urgency of Christ's return. For if we was to extend this study further, we would learn that even Jesus does not know the day when heaven will be opened and he will leave to come back to earth to his people. So are you amongst those who are looking for that blessed hope, looking for the return of your Saviour, my Saviour, and of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? Or will you be amongst those who on the day of his return will cry to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb? The one who is coming back is the one that the disciples knew and loved. The one who is coming back is the one that I know and I love. Can you say that this morning? If you can't, call upon him for salvation. For today is the day of grace, and the hour is still with us. May the Lord bless you as you continue to think upon these things and meditate upon the one who is coming back on the clouds of glory, and be prepared to meet him when he comes. Amen.